One moment that will really stick out in my mind was watching the first, I think it was the first or second draft of Autumn Mountain. I remember watching that video like late one night after getting out of a meeting somewhere, just suddenly being very taken by the gravity of everything that we were doing and by seeing everybody, seeing this, all the people on screen. And I just started crying. I just couldn't believe that it was actually happening. And it was sort of that combination of it's actually happening, I can't believe it, and wow, we really have our work out ahead of us because we have to do this. We have to see this through.
That was Doug Perry from Disco Cactus, and he's talking about Line Them Up, an enormous collaborative concert put on by the VGM community in honor of Paper Mario, the Origami King. You're about to hear the inside scoop on how such a strange and magical thing came to be, so I highly recommend that you watch the video first. It's 40 minutes long and worth every second. After that, sit back, relax, and listen to the story unfold.
Hello, I'm Danny Music. I am the trombonist and one of the arrangers for the Game Brass. On Line Them Up, I arranged the Toad Town intro, event battle, and Picnic Road themes. And most of what I do is arranging and playing trombone. I also played theremin and a little bit of auxiliary percussion on Line Them Up.
Hi, my name is Doug Perry. I'm a percussionist. I play with Disco Cactus as well, and arrange for Disco Cactus as well. And for Line Them Up, I played a whole lot of percussion, vibes, marimba, other. And I also arranged Shy Guys, some of the sections from Shy Guys Finished Last, and the grand finale with Laura and Thomas.
Hello, I'm Eileen Snyder. I mostly do a lot of big band arranging. And on Line Them Up, I worked on the Red Streamer Battle arrangement, and I also did parts of Shy Guys Finished Last, and you saw me in the credits playing Rhodes.
I am Laura Intravia. I am a video game composer and performer for soundtracks. I also play flute and iwi and sing with Disco Cactus, and for Line Them Up, I was the project director and arranger for Yellow Streamer, and contributed to the arrangement of the grand finale. And you heard me playing mostly flute and piccolo and a little bit of iwi.
I'm Sam Bobinski, also known as Slam Bob. I'm a bassist and arranger. I also play with Disco Cactus. And on Line Them Up, I arranged the segments Velimental Battle and Legion of Stationery. I also played electric bass on Autumn Mountain and Yellow Streamer.
I'm Nabil Ansari. I am an indie game composer. I am a sample library developer, a 3D artist as a hobby, and also a producer, a mixing engineer. On Line Them Up, I did... Oh boy. So I did the Olivia intro animation, which Laura and Ro Panigante helped me with. I also did the Scorching Sandpaper piano performance. I also performed piano in the credits theme, and then I also mixed the entirety of the medley.
Hi, my name is Ro Panigante. I'm a progressive rock and metal musician and producer for game remixes and originals. I contributed to Line Them Up playing electric guitar, bass, sitar, voice, and arranged the final battle suite. And I video edited several of the sections with the Dream Team.
And I'm Thomas Kresge, composer and orchestrator and copyist. And on this project, I did arranging. I arranged the Purple Streamer section and then orchestrated the grand finale and I guess a little bit on the final battle stuff. And then also did video editing for a Purple Streamer section and grand finale. And then the Picnic Road and a Scorching Sandpaper Desert sections were all... I did the video editing on those.
I'm Ben Wallace, also known as Dr. Threx. I am the piano player and one of the arrangers in Disco Cactus. On Line Them Up, I was one of the arrangers. for some of the stuff in addition to the big vocal section in the middle, and I played fake timpani and guitar on Line Them Up.
So the idea came out of a couple of things. Paper Mario, The Origami King came out last year, and we were, you know, stuck in quarantine and lockdowns all year. And so we were in my house with Sam and Doug. We were playing Paper Mario on stream, and we thought it was a super hilarious game, and the soundtrack was, like, utterly fantastic. And Disco Cactus had just collaborated with the Game Brass on one of the tracks for one of their albums. We performed on the Secret of Monkey Island track. So one day when the Red Streamer battle was just stuck in my head on loop for about 8 hours, I thought, hey, wouldn't this be fun to arrange for Disco Cactus? And maybe we can collab back with the Game Brass and they can fill out the brass parts for this because it's so brass heavy. And from there, I realized, like, oh, we need, like, a lot of extra people, actually. We need, like, full big bands. Maybe we can get some more people. Man, wouldn't it be fun if we did all the battle themes? Then we can get even more people than that. What if we did all of the music from the soundtrack?
And at this point, this is, I think, very indicative of your household. Nobody said, stop.
No. On the contrary.
I'm nodding. Continue.
On the contrary, I pitched this idea to Sam and Doug, and 3 hours later, it was 2 a.m., and we had written down the names of every single video game musician we could think of, like just a brain dump for, like, you know, hours. And then we talked to the rest of the band, and Disco Cactus was all about it. And then we reached out to the Game Brass, and from there, we built the idea out, listening to the soundtrack and adding more arrangers to the team and stuff like that. And but that's where the idea came from. It was kind of like a weird little perfect storm in my head of a lot of different ideas at once.
Yeah, like, just forget about full brass. It's like, let's also have a full string section and a full choir.
Yep.
And probably get a sitar in there.
And it Grant was quite Kirkhope.
So, like, it's... Okay, I'm going to get just, you know, very professional interview hat here. This is, you know, NPR 60 Minutes. I guess the question I really want to ask about this project is how? How? Like, half of my questions are just about the communication, like, to make all this synced up. Did you have, like, multiple people with spreadsheets and sending emails?
Did we have spreadsheets? Oh, my.
Hey, basically, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, that was... We had maybe too many spreadsheets in retrospect.
Want to see our Google Drive folder?
Oh, my God. Yeah, we should, like, share a screenshot of it.
Bonus so content.
In retrospect, some of the things that we were sort of, like, databasing to keep track of all the tracks we were receiving and stuff, we did end up using Airtable, which was Nabil's suggestion, which I had never used before. And I was like, kind of, I wasn't dubious about it. I was just wary of trying to learn some, like, a new program that I wasn't familiar with. And I'm so thankful that Nabil kept pushing me to try because it really helped us organize all of the tracks. So every time one of the arrangers would actually, let me back up further. So basically, I was in charge of emailing, like, mass emails to all of their performers. We had at one point a recruitment team where we would each individually go out and reach out to musicians that we were, you know, maybe, like, for example, the Game Brass was, you know, very friendly with Grant Kirkhope. So they ended up reaching out to him to invite him to perform. But I was friendly with David Wise. So I ended up reaching out to him. Sam was friendly with Frank Laplacky. So when it came to our so-called superstars, we kind of all, you know, divvied that out based on who knew who. But after that, the arrangers were all in charge of basically communicating and, like, collecting all of the tracks from the musicians and submitting that to a big Dropbox folder that Nabil and I put together, which he did very cleverly by using code to, like, generate the folders based on the Airtable. Yeah. Pretty much saved our lives. And every time somebody, like, received a track and they would submit it to the Dropbox, they would fill out a thing on the Airtable saying, like, here's the track, here's the person that recorded it, here's the type of microphone setup they used and stuff. And that was instrumental to the...
Oh, my God.
Stay organized.
And then Doug just
so
hangs
easily
up.
I'm so easily pleased. That's very funny.
I need to issue a quick correction with what you said.
What?
You said that, like, people being friendly with certain composers, and you said Sam was friendly with Frank Lopaki. You were friendly with Frank Lopaki. I was a little nervous baby boy going, like,
okay, you're a big fan. Could you please play on my arrangement?
It worked, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it did. It was great.
It was funny because Frank was like, not to get too sidetracked, but Frank like wrote back and said, "Oh, this sounds, you know, interesting. Can you tell me more about it?" And Sam was like, "Here's what we were thinking. We were thinking maybe a solo at this section. It's in this key. You know, yeah. Let me know if you have any questions." And like 12 hours later, Frank was like, "Okay, here it is."
Yep.
He did the video and everything, like basically overnight.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's cool because I'm used to seeing, like, you know, Mr. Kurt Cope appear in all sorts of silliness and video game remixes and stuff. But even Dave Wise to an extent. But I don't see Frank getting around a lot. Like, that's pretty neat. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places.
You know, he's just like super busy. He's an incredibly prolific composer. Like, he's written soundtracks for lots and lots of games. And yeah. But we saw him, he performs a lot, I think. We saw him perform at MAGFest a few years ago with Tiberian Sons, and that is how we got the Doug was friendly with one of the members of Tiberian Sun, so we were able to rope them in as well.
Yeah.
So I think he's just, you know, kind of puts his head down and keeps busy with lots and lots of work. But I met him briefly at a VGL show one year, and he's just like one of the nicest people and a killer player live. Like, just absolutely stellar. So
one of
it
my
was
favorite
neat.
Parts,
I agree with you. Yeah. It's really neat to see him play on like a community event like this.
Totally. Yeah.
You
could
say that about basically any of the composers too.
It's true. Yes.
Just like reaching out to any of them and being like, "So we have this idea," and some of them just being like, "Yeah, absolutely, put me on that." You know?
And like starting an email with like, "Hi, Mrs. McLean, I don't know if you remember me. I sang on a concert with you once."
Okay, so Nabil, you've been brought up in the recent past. Tell me a little bit about, I don't want to get too into the weeds with the organizational stuff, as interesting as I personally find that. But
sure.
maybe tell us about the animation side of it, because that was kind of mind-blowing.
Oh, sure. So that was actually a very last-minute addition. So basically...
oh, really?
Yeah, it was like in the last 2 weeks, I think I had the idea. And it wasn't really like directly having the idea. I just started playing around with stuff in my software, and then I came up with it. So basically, Olivia is a central character in The Origami King. She's like Mario's partner who like goes around with the adventures. And because Mario doesn't talk, she kind of fills the role of like the person who's talking all the time and interpreting all the events. So I thought it was weird to do a medley of Paper Mario, The Origami King without any reference being made to Olivia, because even though it's a Mario game, so we can make all these references to Mario, it's still like she's a pretty central part of it. So I took to Blender and I started recreating I looked at the origami concept art of Olivia, and I basically just recreated her. And it was first in her original outfit, like the yellow outfit that she's in, like the yellow coat and the yellow hat. But then I was like, wait, if I'm designing this from scratch, I can just make it whatever I want. So then I put a little bow tie on her and gave her like a tuxedo. And I was like, wait a minute, why don't we make her like the MC? So then I posted like 10 or 20 different screenshots of like different colors for her outfit. There was like, white, black, red, there's all kinds of stuff. And then, we asked Laura to write like a little script for her, like what she's gonna say.
Yeah.
And Laura did a great job with this. It's like really in character.
Oh, so convincing.
Yeah, it was great. And so basically I sat down with Ro and we sort of like time stamped all the lines in the dialogue. And I sat down one night in Blender and I just basically made a little like action animation for every line of dialogue, what was gonna happen. And meanwhile Ro was setting up his After Effects file to do like the scrolling dialogue that looked like the text boxes from the games, which was, it looked perfect. Like you can't really tell the difference at all. It was great.
Yeah.
And so we sort of worked in tandem, and by like the next night we had it all like composited into a scene. And that was really fun. And it was nice for me because like I've been sort of like a hobbyist 3D artist for like a few months now, but I've never like used my skills on anything like to like put out to the public. So it was nice to use my skills in some, as part of Line Them Up, in addition to the mixing stuff I was doing, because everyone was pulling a lot of weight and I wanted to try and utilize all the things I could do to help out where I could.
That didn't feel like a few months of practice. That felt like a professional thing.
I think I started 3D modeling and animation in like late August of 2020.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So video, for anyone who did video editing, what did that timeline look like?
Oh boy. So I mean, within our presence, like we got Thomas and me, right?
How did you even manage this behemoth project? It's sort of, I've been getting into video editing
over
the past
three of us
few
total
months.
So Robbie, who's not here, yes, also edited, you know, a good portion of the videos. So there's at least one more person, but I don't know, we just like when did we start actually working on that? Probably so, at the beginning or the
It was
one
only
the,
like a
February.
Month and a half out, I think. Five or 6 weeks.
Like, it's important you bring up Robbie because I think if I have it correct, Robbie was originally going to be like the sole editor, as someone who had been editing you know, the band Game Brass's excellent music video so much. So like the project scope and like idea changed so much, and once I had joined in and Robbie was like, yeah, I'll be editing it, and I realized this is a 20-minute medley. Which is how it was
originally
it was a 20-minute medley. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, you know, Robbie, but like we worked when we did our own collaboration together, that was the first time we both kind of had this like really fun mutual respect and enjoyment of like wacky video effects and things to kind of like pull from the games and make it fun. So I thought maybe like I could lend a hand and edit too. And by the time this thing became the gargantuan monstrosity that it is, it was like, okay, we have some of the people's videos, some of the mixes, maybe like the rough sketches of some of the sections together. So we were putting placeholders like for some of the people that were in the video, but they hadn't sent it in. I would just like find a picture of them and like we put them in the corners.
Look, what helps us too is that we've all had been editing some videos before, but we had like templates from Game Brass videos that at least Robbie and I used as like a base for this. So there's still some to start with, and like Ro knew what he was doing in order to pull everything together for like the whole final video, which is, so at least with a lot of us on board, there's enough people to fill in the gaps in knowledge, and like near the last couple weeks, other people were like looking at the videos to sort of proofread them, I guess, or to even just suggest shot ideas, since half the battle is just coming up with a way to make it look interesting.
That is actually one of the, like, Laura, we had the spreadsheets that were basically like it. That's the answer to how we had so many people who could fill in those gaps, like you said, Thomas, people to check over. Because when I edit a video, I don't want to look at it for like the next 3 hours. I just want to go watch Netflix and cry.
Yeah. So then there's a lot of like iterations on it, at least three or four or more versions on anything. So yeah, and the nameplate labels, and the last thing that helped us was having Jeff do some graphic designing.
Oh yeah, our my dear friend Jeff Fugelsang, who's not here tonight, he jumped in like very last minute to help us pull together a bunch of artwork for this, including the animations of the names when somebody would take a solo and it would say like Eli's turn or David's turn. And he also put together the name labels, which were, it was something that we hadn't necessarily like given a ton of thought to like at the beginning of the project, but as we got towards the end of like the video editing process, we were discussing how, you know, on these big mega collab videos, nobody like reads the credits generally if you put it on like a website or something like that. So we wanted to credit everybody throughout the video so that they had their moment of the spotlight, you know, even if it was just for 1 second or 2 seconds
that
their names popped up. And that ended up being like, we got really great positive response from that. It meant a lot to the musicians. Like we got just really great comments, and it was really validating to know that they felt validated, you know, just by that small gesture. It took us a while to put those in, but it was really worth it. It really made them feel special.
Yeah, there's something special about like real time acknowledgement. Like you're still in the middle of the thing, having a great time, and then you see their name pop up, or you see your friend's name pop up, and it's like, oh, that's. Or in my case,
exactly.
I see a name pop up that I know, but I didn't actually know what they looked like.
Yeah, that's
I saw the
other
name
thing.
Wrong,
is,
right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that right after the video premiered, a lot of the people who were musicians that were involved had changed their profile pictures on Facebook and Twitter and other social media to themselves with their nameplate on. And that was extremely special to see. And like, As we were saying earlier, we wanted to make sure that all the musicians got their proper credit that they deserved. But then another major part of this was, like, I personally went through and looked up each of the musicians who were performing and then wanted to see what else they do on their channels, what else do they, what other projects are they involved with. And I think that this video ended up getting a lot of exposure for all the musicians in that way.
That's awesome.
Totally. Like we started seeing like musicians who had, as far as we know, had never collaborated before. And now we're seeing, you know, videos pop up on various YouTube channels where it's like, oh, that's so-and-so from the video. I guess they connected, you know, and so on.
Yeah, that's wonderful. This is like in the absence of being able to go to conventions and stuff. This is one of the closest feelings I've gotten to that collaborative, joyful energy.
That's what we were going for.
Well, you did it. Darn it.
You heard it here first, folks. Steven says we did it.
So we made it this far. We haven't actually talked much about the arrangement itself. So let us move to that part of the project. My question is still just how. So I don't know if you guys can define it a little better.
We actually can. We had a pretty like clear, at least we had clear directives in mind, even if we didn't necessarily follow them. So when we first were, it was just Disco Cactus and the Game Brass meeting at first, and we would meet like once a week and just listen through parts of the soundtrack. I went through before those meetings, I went through the whole thing. It is 7.5 hours of music. And I removed like from the list of potentials things that were like, you know, loops or stingers that weren't particularly interesting and kind of color coded. Like, I don't think these themes are very important versus like, I think these themes are super prominent and you hear them throughout the game. And we cobbled together a list of like the things that we liked. And then from there, we called them a nuclei. We would put themes together that seemed to go together on a spreadsheet. And it ended up sort of like mostly lining up with the areas of the game. There was the Red Streamer area and most of those themes went together. There was the, you know, Yellow Streamer area. Those themes went together. But there were some that like just worked really well that weren't from the same area. Like we took Shy Guys Finish Last from the Green Streamer area and paired that with Stage Play, which is from Blue Streamer, and that worked really well just in terms of the transitions there. So
vocal section as well is a good example of that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so once we came up with the nuclei and we figured out like an order that felt good, and we, you know, had our idea for the grand finale and how we would start the whole thing, then we sort of just like raised our hands and said, I'll take this one, you know, and volunteered based on our skill set. That was also when we realized we needed to add more arrangers because there was far too much music there for just our team, you know, to work on. And also, you know, on that note, diversity was very important to us. And at that point we were 100% white and we wanted to not only diversify in terms of, you know, racial representation, but also in terms of gender diversity as well. That was, you know, it was on all of our minds after the events you know, in society last year. So
the events in society.
Yes.
Over, you could point to a bunch of them, frankly.
It was a really rough year and we were all like, at least, you know, in this circle of people, like, I think we were all thinking very much about that, and that was becoming a very important issue to us in a way it hadn't before. So that was when we started reaching out to more people. And It became clear right away that this was no longer going to be a 20-minute arrangement, although I wasn't expecting it to turn into, like, 40. But we were originally thinking, like, oh, we'll just do 30 seconds or 1 minute of each theme. You know, that's all we'll do. But we are artists, and we got very creative about it, and we started making arrangements that were, like, about 3 to 4 minutes long that... And we're, you know, not just a medley, like this theme and this theme and this theme, but like arranging them in a more artistic and, interesting and creative way. And mm-hmm. That was when the project ballooned very much in a short span of time.
Because originally, stylistically, we were trying to unify it as well. We were thinking of a fast, high-tempo, super danceable BPM. And then the final product ended up being everyone added their individual voices and took the arrangements in their own directions. So it's just this amazing amalgamation of a lot of different styles.
Yeah, I'm really glad we deviated from, like, because that was my idea at first was, oh, we should all keep this all danceable so all the pieces connect together. And that would have been really boring after a while. It was way better with everybody taking their own tack on, like, the genres and tempos.
I was going to say it ended up flowing really well, too, between, like, starting with something, like, fast-paced and then moving to something a little calmer, like Autumn Mountain, beefing up in intensity with Ben's piece, and it's like
we had like a natural intermission with the desert sandpaper desert theme.
But that was
I was gonna say there was a funny moment here at the house when we were first starting to get submissions. One of our arrangers who's not here today, David Peacock, had arranged Autumn Mountain, and I think I was practicing or something, and Laura brought me over, or like came over to me and was like, hey, can you listen to this? It was the first arrangement that that we got that didn't quite fit that or meet that like BPM thing that we were talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. It was it was like not at all what I expected either from David. Like that is the Autumn Mountain. Like not that like the writing was completely unlike himself, but like that sort of like slow jam. Vibe was nothing I had ever heard him do before, so my jaw was just hanging open. When he sent it to me, he was like, my hands are shaking. Just let me know if it's bad. I was like, oh my god, it's brilliant.
Yeah, we were both kind of taken aback because it wasn't what we were expecting, but it sounded so good, you know? Mm-hmm. We were like, how can we not use something like this? This is so good.
That's kind of what all these big AAA Mario games are like. You go all around the world and you see, like, different areas and they all have like different energies to them. So to me, it's more interesting to have like, you know, it's kind of like you're traveling different places when you watch Line Them Up and they all have different atmospheres to them as opposed to a singular like concert with like one static mood to it.
And like you're at first, it's like, all right, we're going to do an arrangement. It eventually turns into a medley. But once you get to 40 minutes, you're looking at like a suite or something. I'm not sure what you'd call it, but you need to have like that variation of ups and downs and breaks and crescendos and it makes it more of an adventure.
I was gonna say it reminded me of the way arrangers do symphonic poems of like Final Fantasy and Zelda and stuff. It's very, very similar sort of.
We definitely got a lot of feedback from people that despite it being 40 minutes, it felt like the time really flew by. And I honestly think a lot of the reason for that was the transitions between parts of the arrangement were very intentional and involved a lot of us communicating with each other about what we were going to do in order to make that very effective.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because I was rewatching it today and while I was eating and I needed to go like take a quick break. And I was like, okay, I'll pause it right after. Oh, no, now I'll pause it right after. Oh, no, that. Oh, I can't. No, I'll pause it right after this. And I was just like there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If you ever want to pass time, just watch Line Them Up over and over again until the time has passed.
Yeah, the transitions, I think, were something that certainly I feel made this project unique as far as many of the collaborative projects that I've been a part of, whether it be doing it like an album of individual tracks or a large mega collab type thing like this. I would love if you don't mind, I could reflect a bit on the Shy Guys Finish Last section, which was very interesting because that was a three-way transition discussion between myself, Eileen, and Ben. And we had to get on our own separate voice call after one of our meetings to talk about how we were going to make our tempi lineup to be the same thing and how like we were going to end up being in the same key because Ben had to write a thing called a metric modulation where he uses a time signature to move to a new tempo in order to get to Eileen's or something like that. At one point, there was something like that. That might not have been in the final version, but then you ended up writing this big band thing that you tacked onto the end after the fact that preluded Eileen's section of the piece, which then Eileen and I had to talk, you know, to say things like, wait, what chord should this end on? But yours is in this key, mine is in this key. So that whole chunk of the piece, as a result, you know, hopefully sounds like it just kind of goes in one straight line and ebbs and flows all the way through. But ideally, you know, we were kind of hoping that it wouldn't be super clear where one thing ended and one thing began.
Mm-hmm. Because I imagine a lot of this had to be created piecemeal, like from, you know, obviously everyone's solo recording, but also you've got different arrangers and working on different parts at different times.
It was interesting to sort of, like Doug was saying, to weave those together because, like you said, I was in contact with him and Eileen about stuff, but I was also in contact with David Peacock, who was the piece before me. It's like everybody was always talking with, in close contact with the people who were preceded them and followed them. And I think we all had a thread where we were sharing each other's scores. So the whole thing sort of turns into like excerpting any one of these pieces. They don't necessarily stand as they are. They don't really stand alone because everybody designed their openings and endings to sort of, you know, flow a taka into the next one. So like after I had already started sketching my section for stage play with like the really fast notes and everything, David Peacock had already looked at that and then designed his score. Like if you actually look at his score for it, the last bar says, you know, downbeat of Ben's or of, you know, Ben's arrangement for stage play. And he copies over my first note as his last note. And then I took that cue and I had already seen Eileen's score for the Shy Guys Finished Last stuff. And I was like, oh, you're ending in this key. Okay, great. So then, you know, when I did the little big band tag to my thing, I made sure to end up in the correct key so that it would flow over nicely. And that kind of thing sort of like happens all over the place too. Sam and I were in a conversation like that too, between the ending of the vocals section and then Legion of Stationery, where, you know, he was like, I want your stuff to sort of end and then cut off and have me come in sort of like out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so all of those little tiny transitional conversations were happening across the entire arranging process.
That's awesome. It's like just being very aware of the fact that you're passing things back and forth.
Yeah.
And, trying to set it. It's sort of like telling a good joke in improv. You set it up and then hand it to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it was a thing where like everybody was aware that it wasn't, it's like it wasn't just sort of like an album of a bunch of arrangements. It was one giant, I don't want to misuse the word narrative thing because we're, you know, we're kind of going through the narrative of the game a little bit, but it's one giant connected thing. And everybody's, you know, like everybody's part is a part of that narrative as opposed to
it's our musical
like,
fanfic.
Yeah, exactly. It's our musical Paper Mario Origami King fanfic.
I really want to be Illusion. Like, we kept calling it a concert rather than like a music video. And I felt particularly strongly about using that term because I wanted the people watching to feel as though we were in a room and you just kept seeing your favorite musicians appear on stage. Mm-hmm. Like a spotlight hits them and, oh my God, it's Grant Kirkhope. And then it comes to another spotlight and it's like, Lena Raine, you know. And having it all connect like that 100% enforced the illusion that this was all happening in real time and not like while we pieced together a bunch of different videos, you know.
And I mean, I imagine like people were jumping in at various stages of evolution. Like, Eileen, we haven't heard that much from you so far. Like, from your perspective, when you were entering into the project, what did you see? What was the completion rate at that point?
Well, I just want to say that when I got the email getting invited onto this project, I literally like jumped up and down. I was so excited. Aww. And I feel like this project really like kickstarted my creativity.
Awesome.
Aww. So super cool.
When I hopped in, I think the whole arrangement had been pretty much sort of sorted out, but people hadn't really started writing things yet. But then when, mm-hmm. when people started writing, sketching things out, changing things, that was really interesting to see how sections would get shifted around and, you know, tunes would get taken out and put in. And yeah.
We did do that.
Oh, yeah. It's like... This couldn't have happened without this enormous group of hyper creative people, but a you know, group of hyper creative people will also be constantly wanting to change things and improve things and then changing their minds. And like,
oh yeah,
you need this incredible honing balance of creativity and like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like almost discipline to actually keep things in place.
Yes.
It was a lot of like trying to foster it. We tried to foster like a you know, workplace culture. You know, I feel a little bit in that term, but you know, it kind of was like a place where we were all working together for a while. Of you know, open and honest communication, and also like, you know, we didn't want to stifle anyone's creativity. But so if somebody had a really great idea, like, I tried not to like lay the hammer down unless it really became like a timing issue. Like, there were just a couple of occasions where I got a work in progress from somebody, and the like sometimes it would be something small, like, oh, I think this tempo is a little too shady, can we like kick it up a few, you know, BPM, or others that were like, I'm so sorry, but we have to cut a minute from this, otherwise the whole piece is going to get out of hand, and you know, we're trying to be fair to everybody and not have, you know, one person write like 6 minutes of music when somebody else only wrote like a minute, and you know, so on. So I tried to be a good director, but everybody I really honestly didn't have to give much feedback along those lines at all, and everybody was super chill about presenting their stuff and saying like, you know, I can remove this if we need to, or I had this idea but I don't have to do it, stuff like that. Like, we I was really pleased with how open everybody was with talking about their ideas and coming, because it made the piece, you know, so much better to have, you know, all the extra stuff that we ended up adding in as we realized it would make it a more interesting arrangement.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the music; it was like also the video elements and just the editing style. Like, all those things had to come together to make it feel so dynamic, and they all had to work in concert. Haha, now I made a funny pun.
I get it.
Yeah.
Come on, man, that's what I'm here for. So do you guys, this is kind of a scattershot one, what are some of your favorite memories of working on this thing? Because I feel like it's going to be something a lot of people look back on for many years.
No, I have no good memories.
This was a nightmare. No, we usually start off these episodes with a snippet of dialogue from some point in the episode, and maybe that's what's going to start off.
I have a couple of favorite moments. One that really comes to mind, this is going to sound really weird and also awful because I was not the one editing the video, but having that 18-hour day was the day before the whole video. And I know this will surprise you, but like, we almost everybody was hanging out in the voice chat that night. Like, I had me and Ro and Thomas, and I think Nabil also had popped in throughout the day. Mm-hmm. were all in the voice chat, like putting the nameplates in, making the last few edits. We had like somewhat of an emergency of trying to put together one of the videos very last minute because one of our video editors had to drop out. And we were all, you know, just helping each other get through it. And then at night when everybody else started logging in, it just felt like we were all like, I don't know, pulling an all-nighter in the computer lab at college or something. It was that, you know, stressful time where like, you know that you are at the finish line, that the thing you made is looking like really great. So you have that energy to push over the finish line, like that exuberant energy. Whereas like when you're writing a paper, you're just like, I don't know if this is going to be an A or an F. We were like pretty sure we had an A, you know, at that point. So we were, you know, excited. And so just like everybody hanging out and banding together to keep each other sane was a nice memory. But I also really loved the first night that we watched the video. This is like a week before we handed in the final version. We watched like a rough cut of all the videos back to back.
Oh, that's right.
And it was just the first time we had really seen it all like in some kind of a final form. And I was like, literally, like we had our mics muted while we were watching it, but I was literally screaming. Like it was
visibly screaming.
Yeah. That's my favorite memory. All right. Let's go to the left of our Discord icons. Eileen, do you want to talk about your favorite memory?
Sure. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that, like, the dynamic of this group was, it was so welcoming. I didn't really, like, know a lot of the people before I sort of hopped into the project, but I felt, like, really, I guess, welcomed. And if I had to pick favorite memories, I have two, and one of them is very similar to Laura's. But the first one is, I think, when Ro first posted the, like, his first rough cut of Red Streamer Battle.
Red Streamer.
I remember I was just watching it on loop and I was like, oh my God, like this is real. We are actually doing this. This is happening. Like it made me lose it. And so that was like a really special moment for me. And then the other moment was when we all got together to watch the first like cut of everything together. And I remember it got to the chorus vocal section in the grand finale, and I did start to tear up a little bit when the lyrics came on screen. It felt like such a like a beautiful tying up of everything.
That's I don't know how you can get to the end and not feel a little lump in the throat. That's a good one.
Before I accidentally skip Sam, why don't you go?
I was just about to say.
So I have two. I'm going to try to keep this a little brief, and I'm sorry if I don't. The first one to me is was getting recordings back from the musicians, not just to like hear your own creations come to life and like hear everyone else's creations come to life and like putting them together and like hearing it with like with live musicians is always like incredible, but it's also it was also really interesting to hear like just what other people came up with. Like two examples I can think of in my segments, like the first one, Velemental Battle, David Russell was playing piano and I didn't ask him to do this. He sent me three recordings. Each one was I think they're all the same recording, but he sent me like three or four like different like electric piano sounds, like synth sounds, and he's like, you can mix and match these however you want. And I was like, I think I will do that. And I was like, you get that you were talking about that hyper creativity from the team. You get that from the musicians as well. My other favorite example of that is in Legion of Stationery, Patrick Gunderson, aka Gunderslam, was playing rhythm guitar on that. And I was like, I know you do 8-string stuff, so it would be kind of interesting if you knew when to, if you like threw an 8-string at some point if you want, I don't know. And then he was like, yeah, I actually played the entire thing on an 8-string down an octave, because that's how I do it. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I listened to it in the context with everybody else. Is like, this actually sounds pretty wild and I love it. That one decision in tandem with like a couple other decisions that some of the other musicians made, like completely changed the tone of what I was looking for, and it took a life of its own, and I was like more than happy to let that blossom, you know.
Yeah, there,
like,
yeah, there are just a lot of surprises in the video, and I'm glad to hear that you yourself were surprised.
Oh yeah, good time. And my other favorite part was, you know, when this was all done and Nabil was in the mixing stage, just getting to sit down with Nabil and like workshop the mixes. It felt like, you know, we're all musicians. We thrive on playing with other people and going to rehearsals with other people, and that felt like we were collaborating on. I mean, obviously we were literally collaborating on a project, but it felt like we were in a rehearsal. It felt like we were like working on something together, which like during this past year of COVID, those moments were so few and far between that this was that was just such a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really came across in the final product, I think.
Yeah.
All right, I guess it's my turn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I think for me, I mean, I definitely share a lot of these favorite moments with everyone, especially the moments of hearing everything, you know, really coming together, and, you know, the moments of like, you know, really feeling like a team and really working together with everyone. But one moment that will really stick out in my mind was watching the first, I think it was the first or second draft of Autumn Mountain. I mean, by this point we had a few drafts come out, like a few video drafts, and we were getting really excited, like seeing like these concepts starting to come together. But I think there was something about the Autumn Mountain arrangement that really touched me just as a piece of music. And seeing that video, I whenever it came out, I think this was, by this point we were in the throes, not just of this, but of also in planning VGM together. And we were kind of on that threshold point of, is this is a fun idea and it would be really cool if it happens to, we have to do this, you know? you don't really know where the cliff ends, but we definitely had reached it by that point, you know? And I remember watching that video, that draft, like late one night after getting out of a meeting somewhere, and just suddenly being very taken by the gravity of everything that we were doing, and by seeing everybody, seeing this, all the people on screen, watching Pit Tan smile when she played the major seventh on the sustained chords in the beginning. Like, it just like was like one of the happiest things I've ever like felt watching the, you know, this video. And this was Ro's video editing as well, so hats off to Ro for matching the emotion of David's arrangement with some honestly very emotional video editing. And I just started crying. I just couldn't believe that it was actually happening. And it was sort of that combination of, it's actually happening, I can't believe it, and wow, we really have our work out ahead of us because we have to do this, we have to see this through. Mm-hmm. You know. But yeah, so that moment, I will never forget that.
Aww. Yeah, that's a special combination of sort of delighted panic, but also great and deep gratitude.
Yeah, and I do think too, like part of the emotion was that was the first time I thought everyone is together again. You know?
Yeah. Good one. I like it. Benjamin, how about you?
I have a couple, but I feel like they're just sort of like repeats of stuff that I said before, but I'll say them anyway. I think the one moment that stands out to me the most is something that Sam pointed out, was during the mixing phase. Like after all the arrangements that had been written and all of our recordings from players came back, you know, Nabil, like, you know, went into like mixing mode, and there were a lot of, you know, like every time he worked on any one of our arrangements, usually that arranger would be in the session with him. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes other people would pop in. It was the nice thing about doing this all with on Discord, was that we could all just sort of like pop into voice channels whenever we wanted. And there was a moment where we were going through, I don't remember whose it was. It was like mine, or maybe it was Sam's, or maybe it was like the finale or something like that. But, you know, just all of us sitting around there and like watching
you know, all the stems go by and watching Nabil edit everything really felt like we were in a rehearsal or a dress rehearsal. It just sent me back to, you know, being able to work with orchestras and just sitting in the audience, you know, in like an empty theater and everybody's in their playing clothes and everything like that. And just like smiling as you watch this thing that you've made, like, you know, render itself, you know, with real instruments in front of you. And given everything that's happened in the pandemic, being able to do that over Discord had like exactly the same feeling. And I just kind of like, you know, my heart skipped a beat because I was like, oh, I missed this so much. Because it was so great to hear, like, you know, Nabil just sort of like glue everything together and make it sound better than, you know, anything that we had cooked up in our minds, just working out of like Sibelius and Finale or whatever. So that for me, I think was the highlight because it felt like a return to normalcy as far as music making is concerned. And then like, I think the other moment that I really, really liked too was actually during the premiere of the whole thing, because we all gathered privately on Discord to watch it on Twitch, you know, and then afterwards, like, you know, Laura and Nabil and Rowan Thomas all kind of bounced to go do like the live talk back with MC. But it was just, it was really cool and amazing to see everybody just like lose their minds in Twitch as everything was going by. Yes. And again, it's like, I'm so happy and honored and thrilled I got to work with these people because I feel like my role in this was very tiny, but it made me realize that what we had made, it was more than just another music video. It was more than just like, oh, this cool medley of like, whatever. No, it was like a full evening length, fully professional, masterfully produced concert that just felt sort of like bigger and better than, I feel like this is really selfish and like self-aggrandizing of me to say, it's like, oh, we did it better than everyone, but like it just felt like something that I hadn't seen yet in the VGM space online. And so
I mean, you talk about that feeling of connecting again, doing like live music or collaboration and being in the same place or space with people, and I feel like you guys also gave that to the audience because it felt like going to an awesome concert. And like all these people that I just hadn't really seen or talked to in many cases in quite a while, I've just been so caught up in my own world, as a lot of people have been over the past year. I think that it was powerful on both sides. All right, next. I want another memory.
Okay, so Ben took mine. I was totally going to mention the premiere. that's okay. I will say, in regards to the premiere, I think for me, like, one of the most satisfying parts of this was getting to see the entire community come together, and pretty much every decision that we had made for this project, from recruitment to the transitions to the nameplates to the final premiere to like where it was premiered, all of that was done in the name of getting the video game music community to be brought together in the middle of a time when there were no concerts going on and everyone had to stay in their rooms. So that was extremely special. So in the interest of adding a new memory, I want to talk a little bit about the beginnings of the project, because Lara and Disco Cactus had talked among themselves, and then they brought it to the Game Brass. So then for a while, I think like about a month and a half, we would get together every Friday and just listen through the Paper Mario Origami King soundtrack together. And sometimes we would talk about like different things in the game, but most of it was just like us nerding out about music and thinking of all these possibilities that can be used with each one. And I really enjoyed having that because, like I said, this was the full height of the pandemic, and it was a regular thing and a regular time that we just got to hang with friends who are musicians and nerds who like totally get that. And then especially the day after we had listened to the entire soundtrack and then worked together to form the blocks and come up with the organization and the nuclei and get the entire thing together. Like, that was the point where it really started to feel like, okay, this is more than just a bunch of friends listening and hanging out. This is a real project. We have all these plans involved, and it's now starting to move forward. Mm-hmm. So those were some experiences that I have that were extremely endearing, in addition to the ones that were said already, which are fantastic.
Fantastic. I agree. Thomas, what do you have? You have anything for us?
I do have things now, sort of. I mean, what Laura said about the last night was probably a difficult but still good experience in that. Like, Ro and I were up. I mean, I wasn't up as early as Ro because of time zone differences, technically. But mm-hmm. I think Ro was up to like 4 or 5 in the morning as we tried to finish the last bits of the video. So there's a part there where I'm just kind of watching his screen share, probably slightly more awake than him, making sure nothing wrong happens, and just like putting the last things together. So that was a nice, you know, just we're gonna finish this.
That's good.
And make it happen at the end.
Yeah, if one of you falls asleep, the other can be on high alert.
Right.
Oh yeah. It's like two pilots on a plane, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Ro, what do you think?
So I have two especially, and obviously I think both Laura and Thomas know the final night was extremely special to a lot of us. And I can kind of preface my perspective by saying I never pulled all-nighters in college. I got bad grades and prioritized sleep, or I was going to fail anyway. So I tried to get more sleep kind of thing. Mm-hmm, and sure. And like normally I turn in early. And as also kind of mentioned here, like, I don't think all of us really, really knew each other like the same way with everyone. Like I was super adjacent to like a lot of same kind of video game music stuff. So like this project was like, hey, in like the next 3-4 months, you're going to get super tight with all of these people and start like working nonstop, which was amazing. I really, really cherished all of that. But again, I remember it was like something Laura said, like as we were all usually sleeping at 2 a.m. ish that last week. And I know Laura was turning in before Thomas and I would, because we would still be doing edits and like changes and going through feedbacks. But it was just like the phrasing of like, we just didn't want you to feel like you were alone kind of thing. And it made me feel like this isn't just a collaboration. It's kind of like an indication of what this many unique people working way harder than they ever believed they could can really do for it. So that's why I really liked the last night before. But then on the premiere night, I think I really, really appreciated the moment after we were done. We all kind of sat and chat, both cathartically, like talking up how excited everything was and all these like little funny Easter eggs that everybody has that they hadn't gotten to share. And then we gushed because it was such an emotional rush to see like all of our friends just like, you know, doing their absolute best. And then we played Mario Kart, and weirdly enough, the end of the project was my favorite.
We heard a lot of stories during that Mario Kart session.
Yeah, story swapping and joking, and we were all just like in insanely good moods, and I had made a really good steak, so I was in a good mood.
I feel like there should be like this slow fade out as everyone's talking and laughing, the credits come up. And
But that is, yeah, those are my favorite memories of this and probably any musical project.
Yeah, for sure. Vil, bring us home.
Yeah, so I guess one category would be the same as kind of like what a lot of the arrangers were talking about, but from the other side, like sitting in the mixing session with the arrangers and like going through the stems and getting their feedback as I'm working on the mixes. It was really cool for me because normally when I mix for people, it's like I send them stuff and then they write like some text feedback and then I make a change and then send it back. But it was nice to have that live element to it where they're like there sort of in the room, quote unquote, with me because they were in the voice channel. And like Ben said and like Sam said, it really did feel like a rehearsal sort of thing. Like we were preparing to present this thing and we were ironing out all the small details. Two of my favorite moments in that were on Autumn Mountain in the wee hours of the one of the last nights. I think it was like the last 2 weeks, I think. I was with David Peacock on voice chat, like way later than I should have been awake. And we were just doing like final draft. Oh, right. Because Gareth Coker finally got his piano solo in. Uh-huh. You guys remember that? Remember how late
he
did
that? Yes, I do. Oh, I do.
Yeah. So I finally popped that in and I was on voice call with David. And we went from like draft 7 to draft 11 that night, just doing stuff wow. over and over again. And there was a funny little thing that happened. I was screen sharing so he could see what I was doing. And at one point I sent a draft so he would listen to it. And I would just kind of hover on the Discord window waiting for him to say something because he was muted during that time. And I remember I typed a message and I didn't have to send it because he was watching my screen, but I said be maliciously picky, and he said okay, and then I erased the message. And it was just a really funny moment. And then because I think with that track especially, I really wanted to nail it, because there was something so just emotional about the way the harmonies were laid out and like the soaring automaton melody. I really wanted that track to kind of like capture the audience and like seal the deal for the rest of the concert. So, and then another sort of rehearsal moment was with Sam. It was really nice working on Legion of Stationery with him, because we were just sitting there and he was like telling me stories about his job, kind of like keeping me sane as I'm like doing all these like little waveform edits and stuff. And there was one point also during when I was mastering the medley where Doug had the idea that we needed to add an electric guitar slide to the intro of Velumental to go from,
yeah.
What was before Velumental?
The Shy Guys finished last year.
Shy Guys, yeah. So yeah. To move from Shy Guys to Velumental, Doug wanted to add like a little electric guitar slide so it would kind of like transition a little better into Velumental. So he was asking like maybe if I could like pull up Shreddage from Impact Soundworks or something and like sequence it. What I ended up doing, because I was on a call with Sam already, working out like transition details, I just asked, hey Sam, can you teach me how to do this on my guitar? Because I had my guitar right here next to me. And he basically, Sam is like out on the street, I think, because he's like at work or whatever. And he's on his phone, like on the street. And I hear like the cars and whatever. And then he basically just like talks me through how to do it. And then I figure it out and then I record it. And then we have it. And then it was so cool. Just going through all that, it was just like, you know, one after another, just, and then
wow.
You know, I posted the result in the chat and then Doug was like, yeah, that's what I was looking for.
And I have to thank you both, because that was something like I thought, oh, this would be cool if it was there, but it's not a big deal if it was, but because it was there, it sounded like 500 times better, so thank you for doing that.
yeah of course.
And the project in a nutshell.
Yeah, and it speaks to that same kind of hyper-creativity thing where it's like, right. Normally I would say no to that, but because we were in that high of just everyone executing everything really well, I was just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's, come on. And then also the other category I meant to say was kind of what Laura and Ro and Thomas were talking about with like that last week where we were all kind of palling together, sort of comrades in arms and voice chat and stuff. That last week was really crazy for all of us, and we were definitely losing our minds. And we were very tired, and it was like noticeable, like our behavior kind of changed and stuff, but we knew that we needed to keep each other like sane, otherwise we wouldn't be able to sort of like make it. And we did. And I'm so grateful that everyone saw the importance of like that camaraderie, not just like doing the work, but like doing it together. So. It felt very good. Yeah.
That feels like a highly appropriate note. Hi, there's another pun to end the interview.
Oh my God.
Hey, thanks to you all for sharing all these stories. This was just more than I could have wanted. I just love this video so much, and you guys all knocked it out of the park.
Aww. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's nice getting to reunion with everyone 2 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring in the band together.
Take that, friends. Reunion.
Reunion tour.
Now we need to make a documentary. I will sign up for this duty.
Oh man.
Oh no.
We still have to do a Line Them Up production crew dinner at some point.
That's true. So we'll, I just have two very quick concluding thoughts, and then I'll let everyone get back to their lives. The first one is the game itself that this is all based on, Origami King, I just adore. And my experience playing through that game was complete shock at how much effort they put into this music, way more than they should have, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. I was, like, laughing, and my jaw was dropped, and I didn't think I would get so emotional at the end. and all, that is exactly how I felt about this video in every single capacity. So, good job. And my other thing is, I did notice that I'm sure this is just a mix up or something, but I didn't get invited. Now, I know I can't play any musical instruments. I did notice that a couple people were clapping at one point. So if you do a sequel, I'll do a little of that.
It is our grave error that we did not invite you to clap in our video. We are terribly sorry, and we will keep this in mind.
I know. It's totally your fault, but I'm not mad or anything. Okay, now on that note, I think we're going to end this. Thanks again, everyone. And I hope we'll catch up before too long.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Steven.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't worry, Steven. We'll be together again.
Hey, that's like what they say in that video.
Hashtag together.
Oh, yeah. That's a clever reference.
This is the thing from the video. It's just the thing.
All right, that's a wrap, folks.